Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's your radio friend with lots and lots of good health information and advice. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Dr. Dodamo, when people start thinking about the standards of this metabolic syndrome situation going on, I mean, how do you really know that you're in it, or it's affecting you, and it's not just maybe just a part of it? Because I think once we finally notice it, we're pretty well entrenched within that title and that category.
Yeah, that's very true. So we talked about diabetes before, and those are based on, you know, blood sugar measurements. Metabolic syndrome is classified a couple different ways, but the ATP3 clinical identification of metabolic syndrome is based on a few factors, one of which is abdominal obesity, so it's a high waist circumference. The second is high triglycerides. Now, this is one that's due very much largely to too much sugar and carbohydrates in the diet. Low HDL cholesterol is another one. So that's the quote-unquote good cholesterol, although personally I'm not crazy about talking about good or bad cholesterol because there's just cholesterol. But a low HDL, which is protective against health, a high blood pressure, and high fasting glucose. So you look at those constellation of five different markers of metabolic health. And you know, when you start to, I won't get into the defining levels just in the interest of time today, but, you know, up to about 50% of the American population, 30 to 50%, would qualify as having metabolic syndrome, and most don't realize it.
You know, I'm thinking here, and I'm thinking to myself, Natasha, because you always talk about labels and reading labels, and, you know, this is really important in our supplementation. But isn't it as important, even though many of us eat foods that don't have labels, like fruits and vegetables and our protein and our healthy grains, they don't really have labels. We know what they are. But for the world around us today, where people are eating a ton of different kinds of foods, I don't think we read labels. I think we see a word that looks good and we kind of equate it with being good for us, but we don't read the full label, do we?
No, we don't. And that's a great point, because we think we're eating better foods, but the better foods are laden with sugars, even if they're natural sugars, is not necessarily good for you. And I'll give you an example. Yesterday I was at a presentation for someone to get their degree in nutrition, and brought out a green drink that they bought at their favorite health food store. And the green drink, I pointed to them, look, at 8 ounces, you're going to get 23 grams of carbohydrates. I don't care if it's from a banana or a date. It's still way too much carbohydrate that you think you're getting in this green drink. And my second complaint is that when people are juicing, there's the lack of attention to any kind of hygiene standards, even in these juice bars that people go to. And you don't realize that the minute you juice a vegetable, you juice a fruit, you increase the amount of bacteria exponentially that's found in that product. And if you don't handle the surface or the components of the machine that's making that juice in a sanitary fashion, you're getting a huge load of bacteria. And this is where I think the ignorance comes in. And then the people rush out after they've consumed all of this, you know, what they think is a healthy drink, but they don't realize how many carbs they're ingesting by not reading the label. So they think they've done themselves a world of good. And again, when we looked at the presentation, most people don't get 2 cups of salad a day, or vegetables. And, you know, when you put two cups on a plate, it's quite a bit. And most people don't do that. And this is what I think you just have to cover. Make sure, even though you're buying in a health food store, make sure what you're buying, even if it has natural sugary things, that the carbohydrate content is low, and that you're satisfied with the sanitation. I, again, caution people. There are people selling what they call fermented vegetables, or selling starters for fermented vegetables. Let me caution you, there are no federal guidelines for any of these fermented vegetables, nor are there any guidelines for these fermented vegetable starters. Nobody knows what's in these starters and what you're actually fermenting when you're ingesting this food. And in this case, ignorance is not bliss. It could lead to a host of problems that people don't even connect with their fermented vegetables.
Dr. Dodamo, when you're interviewing and working with your patients and you're talking to them about where they are and where they should be going, and you maybe talk to them about their diets, how many of them think that they're eating better than they are? And how many of them are actually eating food that they don't even realize may be processed? Because I think there is confusion.
Oh, definitely. I mean, most people, I would say, are unaware amount of processed foods that they're eating. Just I think it's a combination of marketing of foods that are indeed processed more than they should be as healthy foods, and then just you know what really is a processed food. I mean it's a spectrum, so I think people are. And then you know I got another point on the juice as well, is that you know look I've got a juicer, I'll make green my own juices every once in a while, but what I see as a problem often for the ones that are purchased in the stores is not only are there very concentrated amounts of sugar, but the fiber that would naturally be in those fruits especially that are being juiced is gone. And it's the fiber that helps lower the blood sugar response, fiber and protein, that's missing when you get this huge bolus sort of dose of sugar from these juices that people buy. And you get the bars too, sort of the health snack bars that will often have as a first ingredient dates. And I like dates as a, you know, in moderation as opposed to artificial sweeteners. But when you've got 30 grams of sugar, whether it's from a date or anything else, that's not going to be very, very healthy for us from a metabolic standpoint, especially in the absence of fiber or protein.
Very, very true. And the fiber, of course, Natasha will tell you the same thing. The fiber in our diets today is so missing. And you know, we have to equate that to a lot of the bowel disorders and digestive disorders, as well as our vacancy of good quality probiotics in our digestive tracts. You know, I actually saw a quote one time that our great-great-great-grandparents had around 70 to 100 grams of fiber a day. And now they say that we have anywhere from, 8 to 15 grams. And we wonder why the constipation, digestive elimination, gas, bloating, heartburn aisles in the drugstore are busting at the seams with symptomatic blowing out products, basically, because they don't have anything there that rebuilds. Most of them are there to take away the symptoms of a bad functioning digestive system. And Natasha, you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think we are a nation obsessed with quick fixes.
Sure.
You know, something doesn't work, give me something natural, you know, to give me a laxative. I'm not going to go to the pharmacy, so I'm going to feel good about taking a natural laxative. Well, anything that has a laxative effect on the body is not good used continuously. I don't care how natural it is. And the other point I wanted to make is that people run and get fresh squeezed orange juice, and they don't realize what a high, you know, sugar carbohydrate kick that is when you drink that orange juice. It's the same thing with carrot juice. It's a very high carbohydrate kick. I tell people, if you're gonna eat fruit, eat it raw, eat it, you know, in the whole. Don't juice it. I prefer that you juice the vegetables if you're gonna have juices, but not the fruits, because the amount of sugar that now is now contained in that so-called juice, whether it's orange or carrot juice or even a berry juice, is much greater. And as Chris so aptly mentioned, you're not getting the fiber. And this is, again, due to the misinformation we're getting on the web. The web talks about, you know, people testing dietary supplements. They throw out information about some fermented food that has 30 types of bacteria in it, because somebody who somebody assumes is a guru is telling us about this. We really have to stop this, because, you know, when you don't know what you're doing with your microbiota by ingesting high amounts of carbohydrates and sugar, and by listening to someone on the internet who supposedly has done some studies, or they claim it's a third-party lab, when you dig down, it's not really a third-party lab. It's somebody they're paying to, you know, be a member of, and they're always going to show their product being tested favorably. I think this is causing massive confusion, and people who are running webinars on the internet are giving out what I call selected information, and that's why we're not seeing a change in the health of our people in America.
Dr. Dodamo, when we are dealing with this metabolic syndrome and, of course, weight and other issues that go along with it, although it is kind of spread out over all demographics, are you seeing more men, more women?
Well, I can tell you one thing. One of where the biggest discrepancy really is with race and ethnicity. So African Americans and Hispanic ethnicity tend to have suffer this much more than Caucasians. And you know, there's a probably a confluence of factors that go into this. I mean, if you start to look at the socioeconomic correlations with lack of access to good food, they're going to get the processed foods that we're talking about avoiding in their neighborhoods. having sort of built environments that aren't conducive to physical activity. I think there, the data are very clear that need to be especially mindful of this and to be thinking about. Their lifestyles, because they're much more prone to these problems.
And Natasha, as we talk about, these issues, and a lot of people say, well, I've been dealing with some of these issues with my gut and my digestive system, and now I found out that I'm diabetic and I have cholesterol imbalances and these things. And a lot of people have a tendency to say, it's been so long, I'm sure that I can only be pharmaceutically controlled. And I think a lot of people say it's too late for me to approach it from a natural angle. And I get that so many times that I think to myself, I said, it's never too late to try to regain your health.
No, and I think most physicians today, they will prescribe the drug. I think that pharmaceutical drugs are great for critical care. So obviously you have to be educated. And remember, it's called the practice of medicine for a reason. We're practicing on you. So you have to take the reins and be interested. How long are you going to take that drug to control that symptom? Or are you going to take responsibility for your health and really change the way you eat and what you buy in your house? The easiest thing to do is to grab something that you can throw in the microwave, and then you're done, and then you take a drug to control the damage that microwave food, which probably has no fiber, has a load of sodium and carbohydrates that's out of, any proportion. And so, you have to take the responsibility. It's not the healthcare system that needs to have the responsibility for your health. You're the number one person that has to have the health. And I'm committed to providing people with guidelines and standards on how to choose the right probiotics. By the way, the probiotic labeling standards and the one that was read into congressional record is also on our website for people to investigate. And we have to get people of like-minded to speak with one voice. I think we're all, as Chris so aptly said, we're speaking with different voices, and people are confused, they're frustrated, and they don't know where to go. So the bottom line is, yes, go to your doctor, consult with your doctor, seek alternative therapies, be committed to changing your diet and doing exercise, even if it's just getting... people go out and buy fancy machines. I just recently installed a very simple treadmill where I just do walking in the morning. And, you don't have to invest a fortune and get all these, bells and whistles, which you're never going to use. I always tell people, keep it simple. Get something that you're going to be able to do every day. And if you're a couch potato and want to watch TV, put the treadmill there and just walk. You don't have to run. You don't have to do anything. Walk while you're, watching your programs, or you're on the computer. Get something where you're walking. Go outside and breathe fresh air. Learn some deep breathing techniques. It doesn't have to cost a fortune. Get the family involved. I always, what I talk about, get the family together for dinner. Sit down at the table. Don't, eat processed food. Have everybody, wash the vegetables, be involved in cutting the vegetables, putting in the extra virgin olive oil, the, natural sea salt, the natural lemon. Change your taste buds. Your taste buds, believe it or not, can be changed within a couple of weeks. And you can start to learn to enjoy more natural, good-tasting food.
Oh, those are great points across the board. I agree with everything there. And, it's funny you mentioned, too, the misinformation and the microwave meals. I mean, that's one that I think is kind of sad, because, people will start doing those and they read the label and that it's good for them and so on. I mean, I think that maybe it's a step in the right direction from eating Five Guys burgers and Kentucky Fried Chicken every day, but it should be a very temporary point along the way. I mean, so we talk about the many predictors of our metabolism. When people are making those microwave meals, cooking the plastic, cooking that plastic and essentially consuming the plastic in the food is a major endocrine disruptor. And we know about BPA, but there are others as well. So these are the kinds of things, too, if we just get back to real eating practices. And I agree. I mean, we don't need the newest P90X or whatever the exercise program is, I think those are actually very tough for people to stick with in the long term because they're too intense. I mean, just to walk, whether it's a treadmill while watching television or just getting outside when the weather's nice. Another little simple piece of equipment that I like is a rowing machine. I mean, they're very inexpensive. You can get it. You can put it in front of the television and so on. So it doesn't need to be very complicated. It doesn't need to be expensive. It just needs to be something that's sustainable.
I think a lot of people think that getting healthy is just so ridiculously expensive. And I had a couple keep track of the way that they were eating because they eat out all the time and they have their designer coffees every morning and all that. And I told them, I said, have your coffee, make it at home, you know, have a cup of coffee in the morning. But they kept track of how much money they spent over the month. And when they saw the figure at the end, and then we talked about eating healthier, the eating healthier was actually a third of the price that they were spending on having somebody else do all the preparation of food that you have no idea what it really is for them every day, and designer coffees and eating out, you know, 5-6 times a week. They found out that it was a third the price to actually get healthy and make their own meals.
Without a doubt. It's a good way to bring the families together too.
Yes, absolutely. Oh. The families need to be brought back together. Natasha always talks about that.
Yeah.
To sit down actually at a table and eat on real, you know, china and have real utensils and really enjoy that time together with the family. We got to get out of this, you know, everybody microwaving their food and then going to their station and doing their thing and not even paying attention to the food that they're putting in their mouth. And also, before we run out of time today, I want to mention my disagreement with these weight reduction companies where they sell you these prepackaged meals and then they tell you that they've got some probiotics in those prepackaged meals. I couldn't disagree with that concept at all because there are probably no live probiotics in those meals, and the fact that they're putting what they claim to be probiotics is not making the meals any healthier. Those processed meals that you get prepared are processed just like the food you get in the supermarket. They may have a lower content of carbohydrate, but I venture to say that their nutrient value is not very great.
I agree completely. And you'll see them, you know, they'll tout the omega-3 content too. I mean, these companies know what consumers are starting to know that omega-3 fats are generally healthy for us, that probiotics are healthy for us. But when you get down to it in these processed and packaged foods and powders, you're often not going to get what is being promised on those, to say the least.
You know, the long-run benefit I see of those, if there is a long-term benefit, is that you do learn portion control. And, I mean, it's a little shocking to people when they see the actual size of the meal. We're not talking the quality, not the integrity, but definitely the quantity. And I think that can truly bring, hopefully, if you learn from the quality, you can slide over to healthier food and absorb and use those same rules and standards.
Right.
I agree, Jeffrey. The problem is that we've had 45 years or more of these diet companies, and people lose the weight, but then they gain it right back.
Very, very
That's true.
That's
the problem.
Very, very true.
It's the same thing with the probiotics. That's why I'm saying that, understanding probiotics, and I believe that it is a part of the pyramid for health. I think that, you know, knowing the standard and eliminating anything that has, you know, four or more strains in the product without any kind of designation of why those bacteria in there, how viable they are, we're losing, you know, the concept because we really don't understand dietary supplements. It's like Chris said, we have the same problem with herbs, with omega-3s. We don't know really what's in the bottle that's listed on the label.
I'm sorry, it really pains me too when it comes to probiotics when someone says, I tried probiotics that didn't work. That's because they tried probiotics that weren't probiotics. They tried some garbage. So this is, again, why I'm very much behind the labeling and certification standards that Natasha is proponing, because then we'll really get people the help that they need.
We have to remember to make sure that we're reading labels. We're asking questions of people that have the quality and the integrity and the information. We have to put ourselves into a more respectful passion and treat ourselves with better respect. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke. This is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this and all of my segments, visit my show page at radiomd.com. Thank you for listening, and stay well.